Welcome in to another week of Brahmas Live. I am Charlie Knapp, along with the voice of the Brahmas, Ethan Hansen, our guest today. As always, Nick Weirdbeard McNamara is with us. Gentlemen.
This is too weird having Charlie announce.
You know what? Charlie, that was a beautiful announcement.
Now
you're supposed to say, let's get it started.
Let's get it started.
So here we go. We're going to talk some hockey today, some Kings hockey, some playoff hockey. Kings up 2-1, but losing their last game 2-1 in overtime. First of all, do I have anything to report from Pierce? No, other than it's the second week of spring practices and that there's going to be a all-you-can-eat hot dog buffet in the gym.
How did the laser tag thing go for the women's soccer?
The laser tag thing went great. Matt Goetzman saved me about $15. $60 I owe Adolfo Perez because I bought 5 tickets, but nobody decided to go. But you know what? We ended up having Wendy's and having a good day. So, you know what? Kudos to Matt Goetzman for bailing me out. Less money I owe to Adolfo. And you know what? When you play laser tag against little kids, just let me tell you, it's like hamsters, man. You gotta like keep your eye on the ground and just like watch the, like the
keep
little whirling dervishes that you know. Oh,
it's okay now.
No, you're good.
Oh, we're good. Okay, sorry. They were saying I was super loud. I am super loud.
You are super
loud.
I just couldn't hear you in my headphones. Is all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you.
But yeah. So when you're laser tagging, you have a bunch of little kids who are just. You know,
was it in like a tent sort of thing? You know, like they,
no,
like
no, it wasn't
thing,
a tent. Or? Like it's actually the laser tag. It's laser zone or something. It's on Ventura in Sherman Oaks. Pretty fun.
I remember a place called Q-Zone.
You guys should definitely go. Although it's not really fun when you have just a bunch of little kids who, you know, you shoot them and then they just wait 5 seconds and then they start chasing you around again and they like come out and they're like in mobs too. I mean, little kids know how to choop around, so, you know, if we ever did the whole Spy Kids thing, we could win any kind of war.
Right.
Telling you.
Yeah.
It's
good.
Crazy.
Yeah, child
That's
soldiers.
Good to know.
It's
good to know.
It's crazy.
Yeah, child soldiers.
There was a place back, there used to be a place, let's just make this show about laser tag.
Yeah.
There was a place back in Santa Maria called Motions.
Yeah.
And they did, like, if you pay, like, $10, you get to play all day.
Oh, and also, let me introduce our special guest for today, Davi Dardone. She is a student and is ditching her biology class.
No, I'm not. I have bio lab.
Oh, lab. Okay.
It's different.
Oh, it's different. Sorry.
Ha.
Anyway, So we're going to be talking laser tag, so feel free to, you know, comment, as you were saying, about Santa Maria.
Well, I was joking when I
said.
Yeah.
Someone lives there.
Okay, but this place had, like, it was $10 you could play all day, and then, like, at first it'd be fun, you know, like you play like 4 or 5 games and you just kill all the little kids, just like whatever. I'm really good at laser tag. Watch out.
Watch out for Charlie.
But then after a while you just get bored and I just found myself like hanging on a rail, like with my gun and just like shooting down at people. Like, laser tag gets boring.
Yeah.
You know what I'm bored about? I'm bored talking about laser tag. Let's talk about some sports.
let's talk about some sports. So just talk about the Kings game. It was a very close game, in and out. I mean, to me, I think both teams just played great defensively. Just, you know, that home ice advantage and, you know, being down two games to nothing. Sharks had to get that win and they did.
You know, I was not disappointed with the game. It played fairly well. It wasn't a bad game. The Kings didn't play poorly. They played pretty good. Maybe they didn't score very many goals, but other than that, they looked pretty good, in my opinion, at least. But it comes down to, once again, penalty problems. And a lot of times this, not just this playoffs, but this whole regular season included, penalties have really killed the Kings because they don't have a penalty kill unit like they did last season with all the really tough defensive veterans that we lost.
Mitchell and Green.
Yeah, they're not there. So now we have these young kids who aren't as good of penalty killers, and we don't have as strong of a penalty kill unit. So getting into penalty problems really hurts the Kings, and as was shown last night, or not last night, but this last game.
Yeah, and I texted you during the game, and I said, you know, I have full confidence in Quick to keep the puck out of the net unless we go down, you know, in a penalty. And obviously going into overtime, knowing that we have to start overtime 5-on-3 for about a minute and 45 seconds, I knew we weren't getting out of that.
Yeah.
we weren't getting out of it, because that's the only way they're going to put pucks past Quick is on the power play.
And the Sharks' power play was really good in the previous series as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things though that the Kings do have the benefit of, you know, just looking at this game and, you know, just watching the film. As you said, they were playing pretty great, and you know, and until the penalties, you know, the 5-on-3 just killed you guys, and that's what led to the goal, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, 5-on-4. But you know, beyond penalties, the two things that strike me the most in this series, or at least in Game 3, was one, face-offs.
Yeah.
San Jose is killing the Kings on face-offs.
Kings stepped up a little compared to the previous game where they lost like a ridiculous amount of face-offs.
Yeah.
Without Stoll for that one, they had they were horrible at the dot. But this last game, Kopitar stepped up ridiculously. I think he lost one face-off he took, or maybe two. He stepped in for Stoll very well, and without Stoll, the Kings are gonna hurt at the face-off because
have any further news about his concussion symptoms? Oh. If they have worn off or not?
I'll get back to you on that one moment. But continue with what you're saying.
And the other thing I was saying is just shots on goal, really, because the Sharks are dominating. I can't remember what the numbers were in Game 3, but they definitely had double-digit lead over the Kings in shots on goal.
Yeah,
and. You know, Quick's going to be able to make 35 saves a night if he has to, but out of, you know, 35, a couple are going to get through, especially if we go on the penalty kill like we have been. And so Quick's going to, you know, if they can keep it in the 20s in shots, Quick can get you a shutout or real close to one.
Yeah, and you can actually see a big difference from earlier in the season, because around the second month of the shortened season, you saw the Kings go through sort of a clicking phase, like they had last playoffs where everything went right for them. You know, four goals in a third period, you're doing pretty good as a team, obviously, at that point. And they were getting through like 30 shots with like 15 blocks. So the Kings were having like 45, 50 shots or even attempted shots a night. Now they're not getting anywhere near that. So I don't know whether it's a playoff intensity or just a lack of offense going into the playoffs, but you could see their offensive game has really shifted downward. And I was saying at the beginning of the playoffs, that's what I'm worried about. Like, the Kings are decent defensively. Quick has rose back to former glory after sort of a disappointing season, but their offensive game is lacking.
Well, I think it's a disappointing season for Quick. One, because he had back surgery in the offseason.
Yeah, two.
Two back surgeries. And then coming in the shortened season, gets off to a slow start. Obviously, he's not going to have the same amount of time to build back up that he would in a regular season. But now he's back into form, looks like. But I'll give you the stats I looked up for Game 3. Quick, 38 saves. Gives up two goals, so they had 40 shots on goal. Niemi, 26 saves. One goal, so 27 shots on goal. So a 13.
Does that say how many block shots there were?
I could find that.
I know that the Sharks had way more. They had at least double. I have a feeling it at least double what the Kings have.
Let me see if I can do it.
We have not been blocking shots nearly as well. And the update on Stoll, they said that his return is possible but unlikely. There's talks about him having a head injury and a shoulder injury after the hit by Torres in Game 2. Or was that Game 1? That was Game 1.
That was Game 1, yeah.
Yeah, so he is probably not coming back, at least for the series. Who knows for the season or the playoffs?
And you know, I was just reviewing that hit by Torres, and
it was vicious.
It was. I mean,
you can. You know,
I mean, there are clean hits. In fact, you know, they're body shots, clean hits. But you know what? When you go for a guy's head, you know, when he's just sticking out there, and you know that. I mean, you know, it's just beyond dirty. And to me, I think that the Sharks' karma will get to them. The Kings will find a way to make an adjustment in the series. And I predict that they're going to win Game 4.
You could argue that it was a clean hit or that it was like it wasn't intentional. You could argue that, but
I think
he got him with
He led with his elbow. All right, you could zoom in and even.
Give me a second. There's an argument to be made that it was clean, or not necessarily clean, but unintentional.
By the GM, who, by the way, was suspended, who got fined $50,000.
The team got fined $100,000.
Yeah, 100,000.
But anyway, there's an argument to be made that it was unintentional because Stoll did lower his head closer to the hit. But regardless, the way the hit was, just watching the hit, you can see that there was time to sort of less to let off after he lowered his head. And the fact that it's Rafi Torres.
Yeah.
Taking, like, people say, oh, you shouldn't judge people on their past crimes, I guess you could say. But it's not like Rafi Torres has even made a public attempt to clean up his game. Like, people all
he's talk. to me, he's like the James Harrison of the NHL, though half of the stuff I don't blame James Harrison necessarily for, just because, you know, it's a different sport. But you know what? He is a repeat offender. Had this been some other Sharks player, then maybe he just gets fined and maybe suspended one game. Or two games. But this is Rafi Torres who we're talking about.
He has a history.
He knew what he was doing. And you're saying also in terms of Stoll, the way that he reacted. If there's a guy that's coming towards you, you're lowering your shoulder to try to brace for impact.
He lowered his he didn't really even see him. It was kind of a blindside hit, speaking of Rafi Torres, it is Rafi Torres. Like, people say don't judge people on their past crimes, like I said before, but and they'll compare him to Matt Cook. I've seen people compare him to Matt Cook. Like, look, Matt Cook cleaned up his game. That's true. I will agree with them on that instance. Matt Cook did clean up his game, and he made a public attempt. He even went out there and was like, you know what? What I've been doing is wrong, and I'm going to change it. And you can see drastically. I think you dropped like 100 penalty minutes from the season when he got huge suspension and like a threat that you're never going to play again if you get another penalty like this. And then he came back and was not like way – he was like a substantially more clean player.
Yeah.
Torres has not done this.
Even a guy like Bertuzzi.
Yeah, Bertuzzi's
Todd Bertuzzi. I mean, I remember 4 or 5 years ago when he did that chop.
That was a long time.
It's been 10 years since that happened.
I don't know if that was 10 years ago.
He was back with Vancouver.
That was a long time.
Well, it was a long. I don't think it was 10. I think if I recall, 6 or 7 years ago. But I remember watching that play and everybody on ESPN all over the sports world quoting Bertuzzi as the dirtiest player in sports because of what happened, because of the way the player fell. I mean, who just goes up to a guy and just rams him in the back of the head? I mean, that there's no excuse, but now you see Todd Bertuzzi. In fact, didn't he play for the Ducks, I think, a couple of years ago, too? It was either the Ducks or the Kings.
I'm not sure.
He didn't play for the Kings, no. I know that. He's playing for the Red Wings now.
He's in the Red Wings. Yeah. He was on Vancouver when he decked Steve Moore in the side of the head. That was 2004 when that happened.
Yeah.
So 9 years.
Yeah. So about 10 years.
So not 10 years. 9 years.
About.
Okay.
You know what? It's close enough.
Yeah. Also, you know, another thing to take out of that game, I think, is, one, they had the first, not only NHL, but NHL playoff debut of Tanner Pearson, who was the Kings' first overall draft pick this.
I heard his name a couple times in the first period, and then after that, I didn't really hear anything about him.
He didn't play much after, like, about halfway through the second.
And then, of course, the first playoff goal of Tyler Toffoli's career.
I've been rooting for Toffoli for a long time because I've been wanting to see him for so long. Just seeing how well he did in the AHL, and just to see, like, he has proved himself legitimately, and you could see that Sutter trusts him enough to put him out there with tie game.
Sutter's a heck of a coach too.
He put him out there like final minutes of a tight important game. That shows trust, and like that goal was Was that? I think it was shorthanded. Was it not shorthanded?
It was shorthanded.
It was like right at the end of the penalty.
Yeah, they might have just killed it.
But that was a beautiful play, and I screamed.
And honestly,
I swear.
And that's one thing that I love about Sutter, just him as a coach and the confidence that he has in his players. That a lot of coaches, you know, they see a young rookie and, you know, they say, is this kid ready for the bright lights? And, you know, Sutter, I don't know what it is, or maybe Toffoli just earned his spot from, maybe practice or the ice time that he had in prior games in the past, what he's done. So, you know, the fact that Sutter has that kind of confidence, though, to trust his young players in those situations, to put him in situations like that. I think it just shows a lot about Sutter and how he coaches and the confidence that he has in his players.
And I think Sutter's been making a lot of great moves so far in the playoffs, obviously, you know, bringing in Brad Richardson, who hadn't been playing at all.
On and off for the second half.
Well, he hadn't been playing in the playoffs, so he didn't play in the first series against St. Louis at all. And he comes in and immediately comes in and, you know, gets the ball rolling and I think gets an assist.
He's got a few points. He's out there. He works hard. He's a fast player.
The one move that I didn't agree with was sitting Martinez for Ellerby in game 3.
It's no secret that a lot of Kings fans hate Ellerby. We're not happy with the defensive situation lately.
Well, Slava's been playing great.
Slava's amazing.
Drew Doughty is always he's been a rock. Very solid player.
Other than that,
Scuderi's kind of been Muzzin's been terrible in these playoffs.
Defensively, yeah. Definitely. Muzzin's not really living up to his rookie of the month announcement.
He had a great couple of weeks.
Yeah.
When he was scoring power play goals was like no one's business.
You know, he's a young player. He hasn't really played much in the NHL till this season. To bring a young defensive core in, you're going to have those types of mistakes. And I mean, there's not much you can do in that situation with Muzzin. I mean, you kind of need him. He can provide you with certain abilities that other players can't. But, I mean, who else are you going to put in his place? You can't say that Martinez is any better than Muzzin.
No.
You can't say Ellerby's any better than Muzzin. To sit him, I mean...
I wasn't suggesting to sit Jake at all.
I've heard people saying it, which is embarrassing.
No, I don't think you sit him because, of course, you need him to get experience and you need him, you know, you need him there in those situations. I don't think you sit him, but I think you might lower his minutes a little bit or at least, you know, minutes in crucial moments where you absolutely need.
They need to distribute his minutes a little better with between Voinov and Doughty, because Doughty, game 2, played 29 minutes. That's a lot of minutes to be playing when you have someone easily arguably as dependable as Doughty and Voinov. So if you distribute those minutes a little better between those two defensemen, I think the Kings can only improve. What I would really like to see is how is Green doing in getting his game back, and whether he's going to have any possibility of getting back in the line.
Would you want him back though? I mean, having been off for so long, would you want him to step in a moment like this? Shake the rust.
If he shows, like, I mean, he's been practicing definitely, but to show that if he's able to prove in practice that he's able to perform at this previous level, then yes, I would love to see him in there. But if he can't, if he can perform better than Ellerby, I think he deserves the chance, because he's a proven veteran. I mean, it's better than like some green kid from out of the Eastern Conference that's still adjusting to the Western Conference style of play. That's how I see it. And you know, in the end, also I would like to see Tanner Pearson playing a bit more with Toffoli, because they had some good chemistry going on. They played on the same line in Manchester, and to not play them together in the big team, I question that judgment a little bit, but I understand you're trying to feel them out a bit.
Well, what line is Toffoli on, the Lewis and Frazier line right now?
He's with Lewis, I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure who else is on that line. Maybe Penner or King.
Penner sounds familiar. I think that was the line out there.
I think it's third. I think Penner's on the third line with them. I know he's on the fourth.
They change
line.
It so much.
They change the bottom six a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the end, the Kings didn't pull out the win. But I saw on Twitter, you can just go through Twitter anytime, you see how like a lot of disappointment amongst Kings fans. And I think I thought after the Blues season, like the first two games, it really shocked a lot of Kings fans. Because coming off a last playoff run, Kings expect
that went 8-0 on the road. So everyone expected, you know, the road to not be a problem for anything.
Or
for
even
Kings.
Just like any game, because like you're going 3-0 in the first three games of every series. They expected a similarly dominant playoff run, but you can't have that every season. And I think there was an adjustment period for Kings fans to realize, yo, this is a different season. This is a different series. You have to understand, like, we're going through a different time. And
that's one thing that, you know, that's very overlooked in terms of the fan perspective overall. Everybody, you know, when you have repeat teams and you think to yourself, well, how come this season it isn't going the same way it did before? I mean, you know, being a Laker fan and you know, seeing multiple championships being won back to back, And, you know, no season will ever be the same as the season it was before.
Definitely.
The result could be the same, but you know what? There's different routes. Different things happen, you know. People go up, people go down.
I think last year the Kings really got, you know, they reaped the benefits of circumstance a lot last season. I mean, no one expected the Devils to be in the finals, you know. That was a bit of an upset. If it's maybe the Penguins or the Rangers, you know, who knows what that series would have been like with the Kings. I don't think the Kings would have been favored like they were against the Devils. I mean, obviously, it's weird to say they were favored when they're the 8th seed in the West, you know, coming in.
You know, I honestly don't think it was the Penguins' year last year, just honestly. Like, and even this year, I'm still shocked. I'm shocked at how well they're doing because their defensive core, they've been known to break.
And their goalie, I mean, Flip Fleury's been, you know.
Well, Vokoun came in and he's been playing great.
You know, Vokoun, I'm actually shocked they're doing as well as they're doing because Vokoun is not, he has not had the best history of being clutch in playoff games. I mean, look at his time with the Capitals. They've only gotten what, second round, third round.
Well, they're known to choke in the playoffs, no matter where they are.
They're not the strongest team. They're not the strongest team in the playoffs.
The strongest team right now is Boston, by far.
Boston.
I mean, I thought Lundqvist was hot coming into this series, and to put up five goals on him last night.
One of them empty net.
It might have been an empty net.
I have no clue. You know what? Actually, I forgot Jágr went.
No, he was in. He was in for all five.
I forgot he went there. I was watching the game, and they said Jágr. I'm like, oh yeah, Jágr. Whatever. I'm like, I have not heard a lot from him after the trade. I've just not.
I mean, he hasn't been doing much for Boston, but he's there. But I mean, you think of all the players around him with Bergeron, Marchand, you know, and Lucic, and all these guys. Who's the guy? Krejci.
Oh, Krejci.
You know,
Krejci's been great.
All these guys that have been stepping up huge, and it's like when you're watching them play, they're always on the attack, and it seems like. Whenever the Rangers are scoring in these games, it's like the Rangers are scrambling to score, and they're like finding miracle goals. And Boston is just dominating everything.
Yeah. And Nash got his first playoff goal this playoff, right?
Yeah, and they thought that was going to be this big thing for the Rangers, and that, you know, he gets the goal, they get to 2-2 in the game, and then Boston just takes it from there and goes and wins it 5-2, which is really shocking because Lundqvist has been so great through the playoffs, you know, all these 1-0 wins that they had in Washington and all that stuff, and then for the Bruins to drop five on him last night, it's pretty eye-opening.
He's tired. He's a tired guy. I mean, to go through such a hard series with the Capitals, it's going to wear you down. And, I mean, especially even the Bruins, they're going to wear you down. And he took some hits last night. Or was it last night? It was. He took some hits yesterday. Mm-hmm. He took some he's like, and he even had, I read a quote from him this morning, like, oh yeah, I'm sore, but so is everyone. That's no excuse.
Right.
But, you know, it might not be an excuse, but it's a reason.
Well, it's really a credit to when you see guys like, you know, like Jonathan Quick last year in the playoffs or Tim Thomas before him, and basically every goalie that's ever won a Stanley Cup, you could say, you know, they always say with a team that's riding the hot goalkeeper, you know, can make it through the playoffs.
You know, I don't even take that as a necessity because
I didn't say it was a necessity, but a lot of times if there is a team with a hot goalkeeper, then they're going to get farther than anyone expected them to get.
Look. I mean, a lot of people always say that's like, oh, goalies win Stanley Cups. I disagree. It's a great help, but look at Fleury when they won. Everyone's talking about like, oh, everyone expects so much from Fleury, but he wasn't so hot when they won the Stanley Cup. He had he didn't have the greatest save percentage, and he didn't have the greatest goals against average. So, you know, it all depends on your team. Like Fleury, if Fleury lets in four goals, and you know, being on the Penguins, they have the firepower to win.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on the team you're around, but. Which is why I've never been expecting the Penguins to go as far as they could because they don't have the strongest defensive core and their goalie is kind of weaker. And you know,
but they're talented as all get out.
Oh, yeah. And I think if they run into a team like the Kings in the finals or something like that, with the Kings been struggling for goals lately and basically surviving just on the basis of their defense and Quick, then I think the Penguins would still be able to, you know.
I would love to see the series, though, you know.
I would hate seeing that series.
I would love it. No,
that would be one of the most watched series in hockey.
I think it would be great. Just, you know, Kopitar, I think in that situation, going against the Penguins.
I think he would be lights out because the one thing about Quick is that when he sees...
Well, he said Kopitar. He's talking about Kopitar.
I think that Kopitar, you got Carter, you got Richards, they're going to rise to the occasion, especially against a team like the Penguins.
Just in terms of... I accidentally said Quick. He was talking about Kopitar. But, you know, just in terms of, you know, the Kings' attitude overall, when this team sees a big challenge, they rise to the occasion. That's why they did so successfully against the Ducks, because you know what? Those Ducks-Kings games, each, every single game that they played, even though the Ducks won, I think the Kings won the series, I think 3-1 it was.
I'm not sure this is.
But, you know, just in terms of when they played the Ducks, they saw this as a marquee matchup, and each one of those games were.
Well, of course. I mean, the Kings were the champions last year, and they have the target on their back. Yeah. And every game they play, you know, everyone's going to come
them. But the point is with the Ducks, because they're that crosstown rival, and when things get hyped up, I just think that, you know, the Kings are those teams who live in that spotlight, who love to live in that spotlight of, oh man, this is the best thing that's going on right now. You're the dog that everybody wants to fight, and when the Kings play with that kind of attitude, and when they play with that kind of swagger, they're almost unbeatable.
And I think the Kings can play with the sort of confidence that they haven't been able to play in the last 2 years in this series, because they do have home ice advantage for the first time in any series. And since 1991 was the last time they won a game one at home.
Yeah, it's been a while.
You know, so to be able to have this confidence where even if they were to lose game four, you know, tomorrow night, even if they lose game four tomorrow night in San Jose, they've got to win 2 out of 3 with 2 being at home. So it's a big confidence booster for the Kings that they haven't been able to experience before.
The one thing, though, that I like about game four was, despite, you know, the Kings losing, was
game
the
three.
Fact...
Game three.
Yeah, game three, sorry. When they're playing game four, despite losing game three, the one thing that they did do against the Sharks was they pushed them to their limit, even though they did not play their best game. The fact that, you know, game three in San Jose, you know, the past two, three seasons, you know, always been, you know, a good team, but, you know, always choked, having their opportunity to, you know, really stick it to the Kings and really, you know, put a real hole in them and try to see if they can dominate. The fact that the Kings pushed them to their limit and only one into overtime, I think speaks more about the Kings than it does the Sharks. And if the Kings are able to make that adjustment and say they go into overtime again, I think the Kings take it. And I think you guys win game five, and you're waiting to see who wins between the Blackhawks and Red Wings. I just, you know.
Which I hope is the Red Wings.
And
that would be a great series.
It would be. And I would be rooting for the Kings even more because, man. Freaking Red Wings, man. Knocked off my Ducks.
And you're right. I mean, going into overtime, if you go to an overtime game, it's a crapshoot on who's going to win.
Oh,
but having the Kings go into that overtime
shorthanded
5-on-3.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, they got through one,
yeah.
But there might have been 15, 20 seconds left on that power play when they scored in overtime.
Something like
so,
that.
So, you know, you're... I'd say it's a crapshoot going into overtime, unless there's penalties, of course. And when there's penalties, and I know referees, they try to shy away from penalties in overtime because it's such a big thing.
Unless it's just big, unless it's just huge.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows what can happen in the rest of the series if it goes to overtime or anything like that. But, you know, still got more games. Game four tomorrow night in San Jose, I believe 6 o'clock start. Or seven, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever.
How about the Pens Senators game?
Double overtime, first double overtime game of the playoffs.
Yes, Senators.
I didn't watch it.
Senators took it. It was an interesting goal. It wasn't a bad goal. It's a pretty good goal. That was and they scored they tied it. The Senators tied it down to one on a shorthanded
with like 20 seconds left
with Alfredson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they went into double overtime. That was a pretty good game. They're down. They're still down a game.
That's a pretty big collapse by Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah, Pittsburgh. You know, I'm saying they're not as strong as a team as everyone.
Well, Barry Melrose mentioned even when they won the series that out of all the teams in the NHL that are in the playoffs, that they're overrated.
Oh, yeah, they really
and,
are.
And, you know, they keep winning games. You know, Sid the Kid is, you know, playing stellar.
The way he always
But you know
plays.
What? They still have a lot of holes. And, you know, you play a Smash Mouth team like Boston or like the Senators, or heck, even if they make the Stanley Cups and they have to play the Kings, the Red Wings, I think that regardless of if Pittsburgh makes it all the way to the Stanley Cup, I think whoever comes out of the West beats them. I just think, you know, the mentality.
I think Pittsburgh could scrape out a win, but I don't expect them to. Just because I feel like they're overrated. Yeah, they have these great offensive players, and
but you know their goalies have been shaky. Their defense has been.
They have some.
When you have all the when you have all those question marks, it's just a matter of breaking the ice. And
there was a speaking of
breaking the ice.
Most important thing I see in that series, really, or not most important, but a really interesting thing, is they had a questionable hit in the double overtime, I believe, on Chris Neal. He was falling down when he got shoved, and he hit the boards really badly. And it reminded me of the Rafi Torres situation, because it was a play where you could have rethought it, maybe. You could have not pushed him when you saw him in a vulnerable position, or you could have not hit him when you saw him in a vulnerable position. And you went for it anyway, and the guy got injured.
It's just things like that. It's so split-second decision.
You know, yeah, I get that. But when you see a guy falling, you might not want to shove him into the boards. He's already going down.
I get it.
He's already going down. The puck's already away from him. You know, it's like maybe don't shove him into the boards, because that's where people get hurt. Or you see a guy, you know, the puck's already away from him. His head's down a bit. Don't go elbow into. Don't take your shoulder into his head.
I think the rule is very wishy-washy.
Yeah, very. Really is. I think they need to make a rule and make this firm that, you know, if you're hitting a guy who's not making a play, who's not going to make a play, and who's just, you know, there. I mean, it's pretty much a judgment call at your discretion. But you know what? If a guy is not making a play and you're just going to hit him, just, you know, cause harm. Once again, it's kind of an objective rule, but you can look at the footage and see, you know, there's difference between, you know, a guy trying to, you know, play a puck and getting a hit, or, you know, a guy who's like maybe near a puck just trying to, you know, tap it and trying to tap it away, and you freaking knock him off his butt.
I think you need to base it solely on the hit itself and not the result of whatever happened with the hit. I mean, you look at something like the Rafi Torres hit on Stoll.
Yeah.
And while Nick was saying that maybe it's questionable whether it was that bad of a hit, the result was that Stoll had a concussion. He's out. You look at Torres' previous, you know, like all the things he's done before, ends up getting suspended for the rest of the series. If that's someone else, let's say Kopitar makes that hit, and the guy doesn't get hurt, it's not the same suspension or anything like that.
Yeah.
The same thing goes when, you know, you check a guy, completely legal hit, but he's next to the boards. He falls over. And his head hits the boards. That has nothing to do with the hit, except for the fact that the boards are there.
Yeah.
You know. So what do you do? Do you make a rule that if a guy is within this distance from the wall, you can't hit him?
Yeah.
Which would be like basically putting a ring around the entire ice.
Yeah,
it's like a crease that you put around the entire ice.
And that would soften
blue
up the
ice,
game.
Where if they're in that spot, you just can't hit them.
Well, you know, I don't think that. When it comes to that situation, it's only boarding, or it should, according to the rule, should only be boarding if it's from behind. Like if they shove you from behind, into your back, into the numbers. That's boarding. And there have been times when they called it differently, which I don't think it's a problem with the rules. That's not a problem
with
the rules.
What that happened in either game 3 or game 2 with I believe it was Carter, when he goes to check somebody when he checked Vlasic, so it was game 2.
And that's how the Sharks series against Vancouver ended, a call like that.
And remember, Vlasic, Carter was coming in for the hit, Vlasic saw him, and at the last second, He turned his back to Carter so that when Carter hit him, and of course Carter couldn't stop at that point.
Yeah.
When he hit him, he went straight into the boards, and it was a hit through the back, and then ended up with a penalty, and the Sharks scored a power play goal.
But there's also been instances where you get a shoulder-on-shoulder check, side, not even a, and they fall into the boards, hit their head.
Well,
that's a boarding, but that's not how the rules are laid out.
Because and then that's because they're basing...
But that was a blind... It's like a blindside hit, basically, right?
But they're basing it on the results of the hit and not the hit itself.
Yeah. And that part, I agree with you, and I think that the NHL... In terms of the suspension to Torres got what he deserved. I mean,
it's the same as in the NFL when you look at the hit on Tom Brady that busted his knee.
Yeah.
You know, completely legal hit. But because it happened, now they make this thing where you can't dive at a quarterback's legs if he's throwing the football, which makes no sense because you're trying to make a tackle.
Yeah.
And what's the best way to knock somebody down?
Okay.
Is to take out their legs.
This is one thing that I just have to say about football. Guys are going to get hurt regardless. What if it's the helmet to helmet situation? I'm totally for that. That's a little different. But if guys get hurt because they're being tackled at awkward angles, that's just the game.
Because you can't take that's awkward just the game. Angles.
I mean if I'm down on my knees and I'm trying to get the quarterback and I stumble and the quarterback's about to make a good throw, I'm wrapping on to something. Regardless, and you know, if he like you know messes up his knee or you know or gets a high ankle sprain or dislocates something, but that's just football. I mean, sorry.
It's the same with horse collar. It's the same with horse collar tackles.
Yeah,
you know, they only did it because Terrell Owens got horse collared before the rule was in place. He got horse collared and it broke his leg because they pulled him backwards.
Well, horse collar. I'm for that rule too. I mean, you don't have to tackle a guy in the pad.
You do though.
The protection.
He's in front of you and he's running away from you, anything you can to take him down.
Well, there's different ways of doing it. Okay,
I don't like the idea.
I played football. You come up. You try to chase him down. You wrap him up. You bring him down. You don't need to tackle him in the pads.
I don't like the thing in football where you can grab.
They're there.
No, but
when it comes like horse collars, like you grab a jersey or pads or something, right?
Yeah,
I don't like that.
Well, horse collar is like you're hooking your hand inside the jersey.
Yeah,
where the pads are.
I don't like
it. You know, exactly.
If you did that in hockey, you would get a holding penalty.
I feel like if they want to get rid of that, then they need to change the way the jerseys are.
Yeah,
they need to change the way the pads go with the jersey and don't allow there to be. But
here's the thing: there's a difference between you know just getting your hand wrapped up accidentally, which you know you're right if they want to like you know negate you know having so many of those calls being called, then like you said, change the artwork.
It's the same to me. I mean, that's just if I'm going to tackle him, I'm going to take any chance I can. You know, it's so quick and it's like I have to tackle this guy. Yeah. I got to put my hands on him. If my hand happens to go in there, so be it. I got to get him to the ground.
Yeah.
That's my one job.
I know.
I got to get him to the ground.
You know,
it's the same with the face mask. In football, grabbing it and pulling him down by it is different than you trying to tackle him and your hand going and touching it.
Who was it? What?
You know,
what's
I don't
name?
Like the.
Oh yeah, not
Asamoah.
No, some div. Dang it!
Human Europe.
Okay.
I think he created a face mask that's like you know it's so hard you basically can't grab onto it so you know you
yeah
can't.
He's got like a it's almost like a waffle pretty
yeah
much,
yeah it
because
is
there's so many bars and lines that you can't fit your fingers in
exactly
the thing is that he's a defensive player
so
you know
I mean there's no face masks on him
you know
really
I,
unless an offensive lineman
when it comes down to that I just don't like the thing where people like I see a guy fall he's basically out of the play as a defensive and I don't watch a lot of football so this is just from the few experiences I've actually watched big games some guy's already all like on his way down he's basically out of the play at that point and it's like oh last ditch grab your jersey yank you down I think that's such a cheap way out you know if you I like the tackles if you're
well gonna, you gotta bring him down somehow
you gotta, yeah that's
I,
your job is to get him to the ground.
Yeah I mean like you're getting paid millions of dollars to bring
well,
people down
either way
how you do it I mean you want to do it of course in the safe way as possible but you're not thinking about that
I'm not worried
When you're on the field.
In this instance, I'm not talking about the injuries necessarily. I'm just thinking, like, it's a cheap way out. You know, like, grab the jersey, pull it up.
Well, life is cheap. cheap, and that's why you go and you get Cokes at the 99-cent store.
If you were to do that in a hockey game, because my forte is hockey, if you were to do that in a hockey game, it's like, I'm falling, I'm going to grab your jersey.
That's different, though, because in hockey, you're not trying to take
– it's a different sport.
The object isn't to get –
you're just trying to hit
them.
There ain't no grabbing. The only thing you're grabbing is your stick, buddy.
I still don't like the idea. I mean, if you want to take him down, tackle him, but to yank him down by the jersey seems so cheap to me. I don't know.
The sport that it makes the most sense is rugby.
Yeah.
Think about rugby.
Yeah.
There's no pads, and it's just get the guy to the ground.
Speaking of which, Maurice Klett trying out for Team USA in the 2016 Olympics. Just had to throw that out there.
But
either way, regardless of what the reasons and all that, it just seems so cheap to me. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, life is cheap. Okay. That's why you suck.
Let's move on. We got 10 minutes left.
So now we got 10 minutes left. David Beckham officially retiring. And getting an assist in his last game. Do you want to do a little thing on talk about David Beckham?
Absolutely.
And his mark on, that he's left on soccer.
Greatest player to ever play in America,
by far. Hang on, wait. Better than Pele?
Oh, okay.
I know that
greatest player to ever play in the MLS.
Yeah,
I'm then. Sad.
But David Beckham's meant so much to the sport of soccer for a very long time. Obviously with Manchester United back in the day and Real Madrid, comes over to LA, plays for the Galaxy 6 years, wins 2 cups, you know, really changes the face of soccer in America, gets it going.
Yeah, because now we have guys like Thierry Henry playing for
people, you know, when Beckham came over, they're saying, oh, he's just coming for the money, you know, he's not the same player he was
they
before.
Paid him a boatload too.
They did, but he was also a great player for the Galaxy.
Oh, by far.
He was easily the best player.
I remember going to a Galaxy game, and the player that I just kept my eyes on, I wasn't even watching the play, I was just watching what he was doing. Yeah. You know, just the vision that he saw and trying to see the things that he did. I mean, sure, do you think in his prime, say like, you know, when he was 25 years old, being the captain of England.
Yeah.
Do you think that he was the best player of his era when he was in his prime?
He was the best player what he did in terms of being on the run, and there's a guy 60 yards down the field on the run, and he can just put the ball right on his foot. And, you know, the way he could take free kicks and bend him over the wall and perfectly in the upper V, you know, things like that other players just can't do.
You saw the thing that he did in Venice, right? When he was doing the Pepsi commercial?
I don't remember specifically, but I mean, just in terms of I feel so appreciative that I was able to watch him play.
Yeah.
You know, live and there's not especially in soccer, you don't get a lot of chances like that
players
like Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, I've never seen them play live. I guess I've had one or two chances when Real Madrid or Barcelona comes and plays a special game. But to be able to go and watch David Beckham play in important, meaningful games for the Galaxy for 6 years, you know, it's something special, and it's something that you might not always get to do. You know, you think of the greats in baseball, Ken Griffey Jr. Or Cal Ripken Jr. or Tony Gwynn, or those style players that are surefire Hall of Famers. You know, and just imagine being able to go and watch those guys play on a, you know, whenever you wanted, having them close by.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to witness just how much they mean, not just to your team or anything like that, but for the sport in general. And for Beckham to leave, I really wish he had retired last year. After playing with the Galaxy, he could have walked away, and it would have meant so much more to me and as an American soccer fan that, you know, he chose to end his career in America. But, you know, whatever. He goes to PSG and he wins another title and he gets to play. I wouldn't say he necessarily led the team to a title like ESPN was trying to say the other day.
Yeah.
But, you know, he got another title.
He got an assist in that game.
And he got to play on a great team and get into the Champions League one more time. I really wish he would have been able to play in one last World Cup. Next year. I mean, obviously, he's not going to make that team.
I just wanted to say the Venice Beach thing. Just in terms of the things that he was able to do. Mm-hmm. So he's doing this video, and the director, he's like, "Hey, here's 3 soccer balls. I bet you can't knock all 3 of them actually into them. Not just like knock them down, but like put them in." And sure enough, these trash cans are probably about 25, 30 yards out,
mm-hmm.
and with a Pepsi in his hand, just puts them in one after another.
Soccer players are the level of skill for a professional soccer player.
It's unreal.
Any professional soccer player, not just a David Beckham type or a Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo. Obviously, those guys are insane when it comes to it. But just the skill level between someone who plays soccer casually twice a week. I mean, obviously, not any of us. The skills that they have are just insane. You can't even fathom being that good at something as they are at soccer. But you know, I'm gonna miss David Beckham and there's not much to say. But let's move on. Let's talk a little UFC. You brought it up earlier.
Yeah, man. Oh, hang on. Who was it that did that knockout that was seen all over ESPN?
The head kick.
Yeah, the head kick.
That was Vitor Belfort.
Oh, Vitor Belfort.
Knocking out Luke Rockhold in the main event.
And the guy who you don't like, and please explain why.
Well, I don't like Vitor Belfort because, one, he's tested positive for steroids before in his career. And then now they put him on this testosterone replacement therapy, TRT, which is this new thing where guys say they have very low levels of testosterone. And now
how old is he?
He's upper 30s. He's getting up there.
Oh, get out of here, man. You don't need to start using Viagra till you're 45. Relax.
Yeah, so
he's got plenty.
Well, it's not a sexual thing. I know. But, he gets this. So they've created this thing. And here's another thing is that a guy like Pat Healy.
Yeah.
Pat Healy comes into the UFC, has his first fight a couple weeks ago. Dominant win over Jim Miller. Gets fight of the night and submission of the night bonuses, $130,000 worth of bonuses after the fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks later, comes out, Pat Healy tests positive for marijuana
he was stoned fighting?
I don't think he was stoned as he was fighting, but at some point in whatever, however long the test...
Is that a problem in the
in the UFC? It's against the rules is what it is. It's against the rules. On.
It's just
so
a little
not only does his fight now become a no contest, he doesn't even get credited for a win in that fight.
Does he get that 130 stripped away?
Yes.
Oh.
So he doesn't even get that money.
He's a poor fighter now.
Yeah. And that money goes to other fighters, you know? So not only did he not – now he doesn't have a win on his record in the UFC, which was his first fight in the UFC, and it was a big fight against a top 10 guy. Yeah. He loses all that money. Who knows what happens next? He could have, you know, he might have been looking at a big marquee matchup with another great fighter, and now he's, you know, in the bottom tiers. He might even be cut. Who knows what happens? But, you know, his career is just basically, and I'm not saying that, you know, marijuana should be legal or whatever that is. I don't care. But the fact is that Vitor Belfort is a guy who's on testosterone replacement. It's a steroid. It's that's what it is.
Yeah.
But he's legally exempt to do it.
Although in terms of the knockout though, that was a nice knockout. I mean, woo. Man.
Yes. Yeah, and I get that, you know, people say, you know, like, oh, the skill that it takes to perform that
kick.
Well,
it was the same argument that everybody was making for Barry Bonds when he was on steroids.
The fact that taking steroids doesn't make him see the ball any better but it makes the ball go a lot farther and it makes his swing a lot faster so that he catches it at that right time to make it go that far. And the same with Vitor can be said on that kick.
So any other news?
So can he get kicked? I mean, what about drinking? Is that a problem?
See, but no, here's the big issue with Vitor is that now he's 5-1 in his career at middleweight. He used to be a light heavyweight. He actually fought John Jones for the title about a year ago, and he almost pulled off an armbar to beat John Jones. He's 5-1 at middleweight. His only loss in his career was in 2011 to Anderson Silva, right? Vitor Belfort and Anderson Silva are the two biggest names in Brazilian MMA. So if they were to fight again, you put them in a soccer stadium in Rio de Janeiro, it's going to sell 80,000 tickets. It's going to be the most successful show the UFC's ever done. So Vitor should be next in line for a title shot at middleweight. And let's say Anderson Silva is able to beat Chris Weidman in July and keep his title. That's obviously the fight they want to go to. But in Rio, you're allowed to take TRT. In Vegas, you're not.
Right.
So if the UFC was to put it in Vegas, now you have – and let's say Vitor wins, you have a champion who has to – they have to put him in fights in different places. just so he can fight. If you put him another place, he can't. Yeah. He's not allowed to.
He's just making a problem for the UFC.
Exactly.
All right, so here we go. 1 minute left. Just some quick things to talk over. Candace Wiggins getting a Mercedes from
I don't know who that
Jay-Z.
Is.
Okay, and man, how about that block by Roy Hibbert on Carmelo Anthony
I don't
as
watch
the
basketball.
Pacers beat the Knicks, so it's going to be Knicks and Heat for the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm going to let you do the outro today because you've been complaining about it.
Boston. All right.
Boston Cannons got their first win of the season.
Great. Okay. Oh, yeah. That is the show. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for Nick coming in. We'll have another show on Wednesday. Check it out. Same time.
And it's going to be the top five funniest moments of our show. Hopefully, if Charlie can get it done, we'll get it done, right?
Okay, cool. Yeah, sure.
All right.
Thanks for checking us out. Keep it right here on kpcradio.com. Have a good day.
This has been